Welcome. Dark Night, Operation Falling Star. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for everything that you're doing and how great is your counsel and your word to us, far beyond finding out. But you will reveal yourself to those who seek you earnestly with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. This is called Dark Night Operation Falling Star. And there have been events that have happened recently that point to the rise of darkness and the rise of violence. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the returning of the Son of Man. And there is nothing new that's under the sun. What has been done will be done again. And it behooves us to look into the eternal counsels and the words and the patterns of history to have an understanding from eternity of what is going on. And then we can know how to navigate our lives by the bright and morning star, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Well, you may ask me, what do you mean, dark night? Well, let's look in the scriptures. Operation Falling Star. Dark night is referred to a recent movie that's come out, in which it speaks of the rise of darkness and those who are supposed to be noblemen, K-N-I-G-H-T, night. But also, Operation Falling Star was a term used for the CERN Hadron Collider in Switzerland when they started to ramp it up and they were trying to open a stargate, interdimensional portals, as they are looking for the God particle. And I won't make a comment on that because God has revealed himself to us and they have missed who he is. But Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. Stars are often angels or pastors or speak of a significant being. Not always a human. Jesus had stars. The wise men were led by a star to Bethlehem to worship him. It was prophesied in Numbers by Balaam that a star would rise out of Jacob and a scepter out of Judah, prophesy the coming of the Messiah. Jesus, Yeshua, is called the bright and morning star. Anyway, verse 2, and he opened, this star fell from heaven to the earth, and he had the key of the bottomless pit. Operation Falling Star. He fell from heaven, the dimensional spiritual realm that's operating around us, that's not perceived by us, into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So the darkness rises and obscures the smoke. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Actual locusts, perhaps. Spiritual locusts, the destroyers, as spoken of in Joel. The army of destruction, out of Joel 2. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the tree, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So, according to this definition, these locusts are some kind of beings. They're not necessarily the insect creature, because they were given power to torment men 5 months as of a poison from a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there are two woes more hereafter. So this particular definition, some people said, oh, well, you know, wings of chariots and hair, and this is modern warfare, and this could be helicopters, and the sting in their tail could be machine guns. Well, perhaps. And this king over them is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now, the angel of the bottomless pit is someone who has authority. Is this the angel that opened the key, the angel that fell? Operation Falling Star, the fallen angel who opened the bottomless pit and releases Abaddon, destroyer, and Apollyon from the Greek god Apollo. These were the names given the ancient entities which were worshipped by pagans, and they had demonic powers to destroy. One woe is past, and then behold, there comes two more woes thereafter. And this particular destroying angels that released torment from the bottomless pit on every man that did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, the seal of God in your forehead is often the royal priesthood, the turban that says, holy unto the Lord, in gold. It depicts the mind of Christ. It is sealed with the blood. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 8, angel went through the city, marking those with a pen and an inkwell, those who were the Lord's, who sighed and cried for the sins and the abominations that they saw daily. And what were those sin and those abominations? They were idolatrous worship, even as Apollyon, the destroyer, comes from the Greek, you know, Apollos, which is the Greek god over all the pantheon of, quote, little gods. And these were probably giants, or the mighty men of old, that elevated themselves. They were probably the hybrid offspring of fallen angels and women. And they bred these giants, and they exalted themselves as God and enslaved men to them and caused men to worship them. Fallen stars, powers of darkness. Now, it speaks about this kind of worship when God rebuked the idolatry in the wilderness. In Acts 7:42, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heavens, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O you house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away to Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed, speaking to Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And the tabernacle of the wilderness was made according to the pattern in heavens, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So this God, this tabernacle of Moloch had the children were put through the fire. There was child sacrifice. The star of the god Remphan. Because of these idolatrous sins, because they broke the first four commandments, God had them carried off into Babylon. Okay, they went off into Babylon. Now, what was the antidote for that? Worship God. Have no other gods before him and worship God alone. But when you break covenant and you say that Babylon, that you're worshiping as idolatrous figures, then God will give you over to them. And these people who say that it is the state that has become your god, you will worship the state, and the state is the nanny state, and you have to look to the state to give you your social security and your disability and to pass out your pharmaceuticals and to pass out your drugs and to take care of you. Now, where does God take care of you? Are you going to come out of Pharaoh's Egypt and worship of idolatry, the enslavement in the camp of the house of slavery and bondage, or go to Babylon? Oh, we shall make a one world order. We shall build a gate to heaven, Babel, Stargate. We shall build a gate of the gods. And they all came together in unity, and God came down, looked, and said, look at them. There's nothing that's impossible with them now. And the usurper of the Almighty God of all creation is coming again and trying to build a one world government so that he can wipe out the seed of mankind, so that he can destroy the seed of Adam, so that he can destroy the seed of the Jews, because they know the Jews are instrumental in the return of the Lord and preparing a way, and that these are a holy seed. Okay, and that Israel is key, the fulfillment of Israel and prophecies, the key for the fulfillment of the prophecies to come to pass. So Satan's going to try to, put up his own government and come into unity. You serve me. No, you don't serve the atheistic, Antichrist state government. We serve no king but King Yeshua. He is our king. He is our healer. He is our provider. He'll give us food in the wilderness. He'll give us clothing. He'll give us shelter, from the sun by day and the moon by night. Psalm 91. Will not strike us. And he gives us power to get wealth, to prosper for those who keep his covenant. But to the wicked, to the falling stars, to those that have exalted themselves against the Most High and spoken blasphemous words against him. And the 70, it says in Luke 10:17, returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But rather rejoice that your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that they're not blotted out. That you don't take what is not rightfully yours. That you don't break what's breaking covenant? Breaking the Ten Commandments and faith in Yeshua. What's that called? A warlock, a treaty breaker, a covenant breaker. It's the occult. Thou shalt, first four commandments, worship God, and this is how you do it. Next six commandments, how to love God. Next six commandments, how to love your neighbors, yourself. Now, what is this hour? Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness. The dark night is coming that covers the earth in gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see all that gather themselves together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you, and the multitude of camels shall cover the dromedaries of Midian, Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, that shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. And whereas this is Jerusalem, this is the reestablished land of Israel, and the King of Kings city, the King of the whole earth. He says, this city, my heart and my eyes are always here in Jerusalem. And as the time of the Gentiles over, and the Jews rise up and prepare the way, that there'll be an unveiling of their hearts, that there'll be an unveiling. And they shall see the one they pierce in a feast day, and they shall mourn and weep, and a purging fire, spirit of judgment and fire shall come and burn through the camp. And only a third shall be left, and they shall proclaim his name in righteousness. And he shall call them out of the dark night into the glorious light, that those of us who are in the light show up the darkness, that this is our job, that we expose the unfruitful works of darkness for what they are, that this will lead you into destruction. Is there anything new? And Lucifer, the light bearer, the angel of light, who masquerades as an angel of the Lord in order to seduce and deceive you, and to drag you into Apollyon, the bottomless pit, with him, because you believe the lie. Oh, did God really say that? How did he say? Hath God said? Oh, God, God wouldn't say that. You shall not die. You shall surely live. And you shall know, you shall be like God, and you shall know good and evil. And is there anything new under the sun? But there are seasons and there are times, just so there are feasts, that God set the times and the seasons in order, that we might know where we are, and that the maturing, the harvest of righteousness, the maturing of righteousness and the maturing of evil comes together, in God's vineyard. It's the whole world, and the evil one has sown tares, seeds that are not of God, and wicked seeds, soulless ones. Black hearts, you look nice, there's nothing. They're bottomless pits. And then there's the righteous. Let the righteous continue to be righteous, and let the wicked continue to be wicked, because the harvest is coming and the angels will come through. And you will be tested. Those many will be purged and refined and fall and be made righteous in the end. Some will do exploits. Do we know the seasons and the times? Do we hear the word of the Lord? Who can make war against this beast system? This Babylon? There's nothing new. He has all the kingdoms. He offered them to Yeshua. Look, bow down and serve me. All these things I can give you. He says, thou shalt not, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not worship yourself, your family, your ideas, your religion. You shall worship only God, your understanding. You shall not worship, what you thought your life was going to be. You shall worship God and commit yourself to him. In the furnace and the testing of this life. In the wilderness, they were tested with the heat of the day. They were tested with, where's water? Where's food? Okay, go in and take the giants. Ah, you're too big. Yeah, but God said. Did he say, do you believe him? You act in presumption. Say, 40 more years in the wilderness. Do you want to enter in? Do we know what the books say? Are the books being opened and unscrolled and unleashed in this day? And they will be opened in the end times. The books, the Dead Sea Scrolls were opened 1948 when Israel became a nation. Officially, it was partitioned out in 1947 on November 29th. The Essenes community has written all these documents, and they were hidden, and they were dispersed. The Essenes were dispersed. They were followers of Yeshua. They had separated themselves from the temple because it was so corrupt, but they did go up. They were obedient to Jerusalem to worship. They did not go to Bethel. They did not go to Dan. They did not follow after another. And they lived a community. And they went up to Mount Zion and worshiped. for the feast. It's required for men to go 3 times a year. Will the nations come up? Will there be dancing in the streets of Jerusalem? And I mean, it's in the street, taking it to the streets. It's taking it to the valleys and the highways. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those that bring good news. Our God reigns. That's the good news. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. And when darkness rises up and shadows over you, and will you appeal to the Lord God, your Most High, your Savior? Is He your God? Do you worship Him and Him alone? Or are you trying to save your life so you can have a few more days and a little bit more to eat? And your soul will end up in eternal destruction. Better to be with the Lord. What should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Holy is the Lord our God. And the dark night is here and the stars are falling and the heavens will be shaken. Let's look at Joel 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for his nigh at hand. Day of darkness and gloominess. Day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there has not ever been like, neither shall there be any more, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains, they shall leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like the men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. And they shall enter in at the window like a thief. And the earth shall quake before them. And the heavens shall tremble. And the sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before their army. For his camp is very great. He is very strong that executeth his word. For the day is great. Of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Now, if you would turn to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and mourning and rend your heart and gnaw your garments and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth him of evil. Who knows if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify, fast, call a holy, solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. That the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is your God? Where is your God? Verse 28. Shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants. And upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens. And in the earth blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness. And the moon into blood. Before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Is God calling you, coming up to Mount Zion? Has he called you to the company? That company? The company It says, but you're coming to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavens Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So do not refuse him as speaks, for if they escaped who not refused him to speak on that earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken may remain. So we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we are serving God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And those that are going to be thrown in the fire, the seed, the tares, are going to burn up. That's hell, my friends. It's forever. You don't want to go there. What kind of fruit do you have in your life? Is the fruit of righteousness and truth there? What's offering? Or what's happened? Is this what's happened? To the nation. What's happened? Oh, who is this? This is God's people. Here they are. And she's becoming Hosea too. A prostitute. Full of whoredoms and adulteries. United States, plead with your mother. We plead with you. She's not the wife of God. And he is not her husband. So let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Lest I strip her naked and set her as the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be children of whoredoms. Do you hear that? That's the apostate church. That's a church that doesn't preach Jesus Christ crucified, Son of God, born a virgin, seated now at the right hand of God. For their mother hath played the harlot. She has conceived them. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. And she said, I will go after my lovers. I'll make another treaty with the nations and make a deal that they give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. And therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she should not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. And then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better with me then than now. For she did not know that I gave her the corn and the wine and the oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof. Is there a drought for the corn? Is the soybean? Yes. And my wine in the season thereof, I will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. And none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Shabbats, all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, when she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lovers and forgot me, says the Lord. So therefore I will, behold, allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And so this nation is gone into the wilderness, and these are the last hours. And what happened in Daniel? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon? He said, oh, I have built all this myself. I'm the state. I've made all this. You haven't done any of this work yourself. Oh, I built it all myself. And what did God do? God struck him with confusion of mind, and he went insane. And he went out into the wilderness, and his hair grew long in the dew, and he ate grass, and his nails grew really long like talons and eagle feathers. Until after 7 years, he acknowledged that it was the Lord God, the King, that causes to give all those things that are good and righteous. It says in Deuteronomy, and I give to those who keep covenant, I give them power to create wealth, to prosper. Does not come from the atheistic state, the Luciferians, or the idolatrous. Deuteronomy 28. God, it says in Daniel, sets up kings and he brings them down. And God, it says in, I believe, Daniel 5, changes the times and seasons. Now the Antichrist changes the times and the laws. He becomes the lawless one. And this little horn rises up, boasting proud and great things and blaspheming the Lord God Almighty. But his time is almost at an end. Lucifer, the light bearer, the star that fell like lightning from heaven, is being ascended by a star, as it's prophesied in Numbers, that has risen out of Jacob, and the scepter will come out of Judah. And this all these idolatrous kingdoms, and you know, the Medes and the Persians, Nebuchadnezzar's, and they set up this idol and they said, you better worship him. And the feet were clay and iron, and they did not adhere to each other, and there were divided toes. They will not adhere. There will be confusion in the camp, because Babel, the gate of heaven, the star gates, means confusion and babbling. And there will be division among these world people, the final kingdom. There will never be unity, because when God came down and saw they were building the Stargate, the gate of heaven, the Tower of Babel, to heaven, he said, there's nothing that's going to be impossible with them. And so Satan is trying to raise and exalt his throne on the earth against the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord sits in the heavens and laughs in derision at him. And he's making all his enemies his footstool. And anyway, this big idolatrous statue that was set up, there was a rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands. It was the everlasting rock of our salvation. And it became a great, it says, a great mountain. And it filled the whole earth. And it crushed the idol. It crushed the idol. Jesus, Yeshua, the rock, the morning star. The star, you know, to him who overcomes, the morning star shall rise in your hearts. The Lord Jesus will rise in your hearts as you are faithful to him and his covenant. That is the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, and keep faith in Yeshua. And here's our great, I love this. This has been, you know, how great is our God. Our God reigns. He rules. All these things we are bringing to light, exposing the darkness, exposing what is done in shame and secret, exposing the liar and the rebellious one and the accuser of the brethren. And I just love this by the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now this is our testimony, and this is our declaration, and this is where we shine and we show the light of Christ's glory in us that's reflected. And Yeshua is the light. He is our light, and he overcomes the dark night. In him, Yeshua destroyed the temple and raised up in 3 days. That is his body, and the earthly temple is us, and the glory of the Lord resides there. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, even as gross darkness, right, shall cover the earth, and darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. The idolatrous temples will be destroyed. He creates the destroyer to wreak havoc. Our God reigns. How great is our God? How great is our God? And the only understanding we'll have of this life, and the only purposes that we'll understand, is if we ask this one question, the most important question of your whole life, is who is Yeshua HaMashiach? Who is Jesus the Christ to you? Because on this stands the weight of your eternal life. Whether it will be, if you denied him, he'll deny you, and you'll be thrown into the purging fires of hell and the second death. And if you acknowledge him and follow him, he is the door, the only door. There is no other door. There is no other way to enter in. You have to come to the Father through Yeshua. No one else has been raised from the dead. All the other, quote, great religious figures are in the grave, dead. Yeshua is the only way to the Father. And you must ask this question. Are you going to follow him? Whom are you going to serve? Are you going to become part of the temple, the eternal temple in heaven, the tabernacle that was the pattern in the wilderness? Are you going to come out of the beast system in the wilderness system? Or are you going to serve the beast and end up in the lake of fire with him? Or in Apollyon, the bottomless pit, the key to that, the wormhole that's eternal, slipping into darkness. It is so crucial. So by this we beg and plead, and we persuade men to run from the terrors of hell and eternity. And anything else comes from the fathers of lies. Shatan. There's no other way or no other name given under heaven. And Jesus is the truth. If you love the truth, you'll embrace him and follow him this day in all his ways. Learn his will and his ways. In Yeshua's name, I pray for you, God. Bless those who hear this, Father. Let them get an understanding that we witness that this is that. This is what's happening in these days, that darkness is rising up, but your glory is rising also. And that we'd be a burning, bright witness and testimony, a city on a hill, Lord, a light on a lampstand to show the way, to uncover the works of darkness and show the way out. It's so simple, Lord, but it takes complete submission and surrender to you. And Lord, we surrender all and give you all the glory and praise in Yeshua's name. God bless you.